Good afternoon. My name is Susan Muirhead, and today I'll be reading part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, August 4th, 2026. We're already into August. Can't believe it. Let's begin with some of today's top stories. The first headline reads, actually, it is a large photo, front and center, lost in wonder. And it's a large photo of people in a large garden or field of beautiful sunflowers. The caption reads, there's two women taking photos. Friends Priscilla Knox and Linda Whitecamp, Mosey, through the in-bloom sunflower maze Monday afternoon at Clearview Farm in Champaign. Knox has been to the field before and took Whitecamp for the first time. The Atkins Group will put on the 2026 Sunflower Celebration starting at 5 p.m. Wednesday. Admission is free and parking is available at the High School of St. Thomas More. There's more to this story in A7. We'll get to that shortly. This photo was taken by Rob Lacades for the News Gazette. The next headline reads, from Capital News, Illinois, back to school sales tax holiday to start Friday. Lower rate will apply to qualifying goods. This article is written by Ben Solinsky, and Ben can be reached at news@news-gazette.com. This article is based out of Springfield. Parents starting on back-to-school shopping will get a temporary sales tax break for 10 days this month. From this Friday through August 16th, the state's sales tax on school supplies will be reduced from 6.25% to 1.25%. Items with a lower sales tax will include traditional supplies such as markers and pencils, notebooks and folders, and other classroom items, as well as many clothing purchases. Parents will keep more of their hard-earned dollars while students will get what they need to start the school year off right, Governor J.B. Pritzker said at an event in Palatine to highlight the initiative. Clothing items, including shoes that cost less than $125, will qualify for a lower sales tax rate, while there will be no price limit on school supplies. Just one moment as I continue to this article. One moment. And I'm sorry, here we go to continue. All purchases will still be subject to lower sales taxes, however. The program costs the state $10 million, a minimal amount of the $55.9 billion budget. Pritzker blamed President Donald Trump for rising inflation, saying his policies have increased costs and made life harder for Illinois families. We can't control broader inflation in the economy, but there are some things we can do to make life easier, Pritzker said. Launching into campaign mode with Election Day 3 months away, Pritzker said the sales tax holiday is the latest example of how his administration has tried to lower costs for Illinoisans. He pointed to initiatives to raise the minimum wage, provide food benefits for people who lost eligibility for federal support, and forgive medical debt. He also touted legislation reforming insurance and banning hidden fees as other ways he saved Illinoisans money. The sales tax holiday on school supplies is one of the two tax relief initiatives in the fiscal year 2027 budget. Lawmakers also suspended the annual increase to the motor fuel tax until January 1st, which saves drivers about 1 cent per gallon. The budget also included hundreds of millions of dollars in new taxes, mostly on businesses, as lawmakers increased spending by less than 1%. The last time the state approved such a program was in 2022, the last time Pritzker ran for re-election. The sales tax holiday also comes days after the sales tax increased in the Chicago area. The sales tax rose on Saturday by a quarter point in counties served by the Northern Illinois Transit Authority, which includes Cook, Lake, McHenry, DuPage, Kane, and Will. State lawmakers approved the tax increase last year to help fund public transportation and stave off massive funding shortfall this year and significant service cuts. That was capital coverage. Let's continue back to the front page. The next headline reads, from University of Illinois, Altgeld Hall, that's A-L-T-G-E-L-D, Altgeld Hall, restoration reaches final phase, interior updates. This article is based at the University of Illinois in Urbana and was written by Luke Taylor. His email address is ltaylor@newsgazette.com. The project to revitalize the University of Illinois' Altgeld Hall has reached its final phase, with workers starting to begin renovations indoors. The years-long project still will take a while longer to be completed. Lauren Grenland, spokeswoman for the Illinois Capital Development Board, said that this phase four is set to be finished in winter of 2028. The project will modernize interior spaces while preserving and restoring Altgeld Hall's historic features, including the murals, Grenland said. And before I continue the article, there is one photo that accompanies the article, and it's through a chain link fence of the old kind of tannish building with terracotta roof. Construction continues Thursday afternoon at Altgeld Hall and the Illini Union on the University of Illinois campus. That photo is taken by Rob Lacates for the News Gazette. Let me continue that article here. One moment. I must go to A8. Here we go. Grenland said that the development board and the university alike are prioritizing the restoration and revitalization of the building, but don't want to disregard its history either. The mosaics, woodwork, and murals are all set to be restored during this project, and building redesigns aim to help the structure use water and energy more efficiently. As a historic campus building, our construction teams will provide modernization to accessibility and safety while maintaining the integrity of Altgeld's historic architecture, she said. The interior renovation includes demolishing and reconstructing the building's 1956 addition. That work, Grenland said, will allow for the floors to be properly aligned and improve accessibility to better adhere to the Americans with Disabilities Act. U of I Facilities and Services spokesperson Steve Breitweiser said the work kicked off on July 1st. That's when the development board authorized Williams Brothers Construction, Inc. to proceed with the project. Altgeld's restoration is part of the same project that includes construction of a new facility on the site of the former Illini Hall. That construction is considered the project's Phase 3, which continues as Phase 4 gets underway. Phase 2, which also overlapped with Phase 3, included exterior renovations to Altgeld, such as masonry revitalization of the sandstone facade, wall and floor improvements, and structural upgrades to the bell tower, among other work. That external work had to be completed as a precursor to this final stage. It's an exciting moment for that project, now that we've turned to those kind of interior renovations, and very consistent if you think about what was done with the Natural History Building and what was done with Lincoln Hall, Breitweiser said. This building is going to be revitalized with this sort of effort. Nearby, the front of the Illini Union has been covered in scaffolding for some time as part of a roofing project. Breitweiser said the scaffolding will soon move to the north side of the building, as the massive roof system restoration project continues. The roofing there was original to the facility going back to the 40s, so you can think about all the care that had to go into that project, Bright Weiser said. He's also been very happy with how the project has managed to progress despite being on a facility that is consistently in use and busy. The Special Collections and Archives project is also about a third of the way complete, Breitweiser said, with completion looking to happen around fall of 2027. And there's one last photo that accompanies this article. It's a faraway look of the Illini Union, the backside of the Illini Union. That's also, as mentioned in this article, under construction and renovation. The caption reads, "Scaffolding on the Illini Union will soon be moved to the building's north side, or sorry, to the building's south side. As a roof restoration project continues, the previous roofing was original to the building." And that photo is again taken by Rob Lacates for the News Gazette. As a quick note, this story contains original reporting by News Gazette staff. If you are not a subscriber, please consider becoming one, because local journalism is only possible with your support. A subscription to the News Gazette plays a vital role in making this reporting possible. Thank you for your support and helping us continue to connect our community. The next headline reads, Champaign City Council, overhaul of liquor licenses proposed, goal to create category for small-scale sellers of alcohol packaged to go. This article is written by Jana Wiersema, who can be reached by email at jwiersema@newsgazette.com. The article is based out of Champaign. A proposed update to the city's liquor license code would include splitting its Class P package retailer's license into two separate categories, one for businesses who make less than a third of their profits from alcohol sales, and one for establishments such as liquor stores that exceed this criteria. If the proposed change is approved, the city will have more flexibility to promote economic development in underserved areas of the community that could benefit from new businesses, like a grocery store that might otherwise see increased public safety concerns resulting from the location of a new retail liquor store, said Deputy Liquor Commissioner Jeff Hamilton. Under the proposal, a P1 license would be issued to a retail business that makes no more than 30% of its annual gross revenues off packaged liquor sales. Additionally, no more than 30% of the sales floor of a P1 business could be used for the sale, display, or stocking of packaged liquor. P2 licenses, however, would not have to meet either criteria. Assistant City Attorney Aaliyah Horwick wrote in a report to the City Council that examples of businesses that would likely hold P1 licenses include grocery stores, convenience stores, and other retail establishments where the sale of packaged alcohol is a small part of the business's overall operations and revenues. According to Hamilton, there are currently 57 businesses in Champaign that are licensed to sell packaged liquor. The figure includes groceries, convenience stores, and other retailers, as well as bars and restaurants that sell such items to go. If the City Council approves the changes to the liquor license code, city staff will work with businesses who currently hold a Class P license to figure out which of the two new license types suits them best, Hamilton said. We will then work to transition each business to either a Class P1 or a Class P2 during the annual liquor license renewals this fall, he said. No existing businesses will lose their ability to hold a liquor license as a result of the proposed change. And this article continues. One moment. Thank you. There's currently no limit on the number of Class P licenses issued by the city, and the proposed changes would not create one, he added. The proposed ordinance states that a P1 business that surpasses the 30% limit for revenue or floor space would be required to either apply for a different type of license, surrender their license, or submit an acceptable plan for how the business will promptly come into compliance. In discussing the rationale behind the proposal, Horwick wrote that creating two distinct types of packaged liquor licenses would help the city support public safety while also providing economic development opportunities for small businesses. In recent years, the city has experienced an unfortunate increase in violent and alcohol-related crimes in some areas of town, she wrote. Adding more licensed businesses that primarily sell packaged liquor in areas experiencing high levels of violent crime can result in an increase in the number of calls for emergency services and cause neighborhood and community safety concerns. In recent years, Champaign police have worked to address concerns large and small, from disruptive gatherings to domestic incidents, acts of violence, driving under the influence, and public intoxication, with many of those incidents tied to the presence of alcohol, said Sergeant Justin Prosser, Administrative Sergeant for Liquor and Special Events of the Champaign Police Department. While the liquor ordinance does allow the city's liquor commissioner, Mayor Deb Vinen, to deny new license applications based on law enforcement concerns, Horwick noted that the city wants to encourage new retail businesses throughout Champaign, including in areas that are seeing higher levels of crime. Groceries, convenience stores, and other small retailers can help meet needs for food, goods, and services in the neighborhoods where they do business. But these establishments' owners often want the ability to sell a limited amount of packaged liquor, Horwick said. Creating different categories of Class P packaged liquor licenses as proposed would potentially allow more new business owners to sell small amounts of packaged liquor incidental to the primary purpose of their business under a Class P1 license without creating public safety concerns for local law enforcement, she concluded. Other proposed changes to the liquor license code include new language regarding the use and verification of state-issued mobile IDs, adding aluminum to the list of allowed containers for outdoor consumption in downtown festival districts, language stating that an applicant seeking a temporary city-issued liquor license must meet the eligibility requirements for a temporary state license, which are currently more restrictive than the city's criteria, Horwick said. The City Council will vote on the proposed changes to the liquor license code at its meeting on Tuesday, also on the Council's agenda. A special use permit application for a proposed commissary kitchen at 411 North Wright Street. The application has received some opposition from neighboring residents, and a formal protest has been filed with the city clerk, meaning that the city council will need a supermajority of 6 ayes, A-Y-E-S, in quotation marks, in order to approve it, according to planning manager Jeff Marino. Also, a $275,200 contract with Barber and Diatley Inc. to renovate the city-owned building at 201 West University Avenue to house the Planning and Development Department, including the Building Safety Division. The company could also receive an incentive of up to $6,880 if minority subcontracting and employment criteria are met. Also, an approximately $115,000 contract with Farnsworth Group, Inc. to study options for dredging the Boneyard Creek 2nd Street Basin. And finally, last one in today's paper, a $417,000 contract with Top Roofing to replace the roof at the Champaign Police Department. The company could receive an incentive of up to $10,424 if minority subcontracting and employment criteria are met. Let's take a quick look at our weather forecast over the next few days. Today, 84 degrees, sunny, patchy fog in the morning, South winds around 5 miles per hour. Overnight, mostly clear. Southeast winds around 5 miles per hour. Wednesday, the high will also be 84, the low is 64. Mostly sunny. South winds around 5 miles per hour. Overnight, showers 70% likely with a chance of thunderstorms. Thursday, the high will be 79, the low will be 67. Showers 70% likely with a chance of thunderstorms. That's Thursday, rain. Friday, the high will be 81, the low is 65, mostly cloudy. Saturday, the high will be 84, the low will be 65, partly cloudy. So nice weather ahead, fairly consistent, except for that little bit of rain on Thursday. The next headline reads, from Top of the Morning, something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rosso. Two Illini-themed golf tournaments worth a tee time. Pro Bowler Henry Jones and Super Bowl champion Pierre Thomas will join former Illini football teammates in this year's field at the 5th Annual David Williams Foundation Golf Outing, September 11th, at the University of Illinois Orange Course in Savoy. Sponsored by Midland States Bank, the popular scramble pairs a former Illini or CU celebrity with 30 four-person teams. Proceeds benefit a number of organizations, including the Kiwanis Club of CU's, Tom Jones Challenger League, and Champaign native Bonnie Blair's Dash Project. Blair is scheduled to compete. You can register for this event at davidwilliamsfoundation.org. And it's year 25 of the Illini Rebounders Lou Henson Golf Outing, a scramble scheduled for August 26th at Atkins Golf Club in Urbana. Illini coach Brad Underwood, fresh off an appearance at the John Deere Classic Pro-Am, will be at the first tee. The radio team of Brian Barnhart and Dion Thomas will man the 10th tee. Several stars of the past, including Dee Brown, James Augustine, TJ Wheeler, Jack Ingram, and Doug Altenberger, as well as Mary Henson, will take part. You can register for that at IlliniRebounders.com. And there's one photo of several gentlemen out on a golf course. There's a golf cart behind them. They all have blue long shorts on and some orange and white shirts and baseball caps and sunglasses. The caption reads, David Williams at last year's tournament. The next headline reads, history, area history. In 1926, a search team pulled the body of Marjorie Brown, age 7, from the Sangamon River, southeast of Mahomet, a half mile from where she had slipped off a tree trunk and gotten swept into the current. She had been on the north bank of the river just opposite the new concrete bridge over the hard road, playing with other youngsters in her family, including her 12-year-old uncle, Norman Brown. The boy had immediately dived in to save her, but he never resurfaced. His body was found a day later, about a quarter mile from where his niece was found. In 1976, the Central Illinois Public Service Company has been working the past 3 weeks on increasing the power input to the village of Allerton. On Wednesday night, the power was off for 2 hours, 40 minutes, while new transformers, new poles, lines, and cables were cut into the system. The power cutoff caused the automatic burglar alarm to go off and roused several residents from their sleep. The new installations will double the power input here and help reduce low voltage. The work was done Wednesday night by 8 crews from the power company. In 2011, most emergencies can't be forecast. That's in 2011. One that will happen this week, though, has been planned for several months. Boy Scouts, in conjunction with the Rantoul Airport and area emergency agencies, will stage a mock emergency late Saturday afternoon. The scenario involves a tornado hitting Rantoul, damaging a plane, and injuring passengers. Organizers are especially sensitive to the fact that the airport was the site of a fatal plane crash July 24th, when 3 Champaign residents were killed. Airport manager Bill Clayton said the mock emergency will take place at 5 p.m. He said, however, that no sirens will sound and no emergency vehicles will speed through the streets to the scene. The next headline reads, more from Capital News, Illinois, soon to be laws, cash payment rules, jury duty pay, and more. Pritzker signed 87 bills on Friday. This article is written by Ben Zielinski for Capital News, Illinois. You can reach Capital News, Illinois at news@capitalnewsillinois.com. Most Illinois retailers will be required to accept cash payments beginning in 2028 under a bill Governor J.B. Pritzker signed on Friday. House Bill 4592 requires retailers that employ someone to process in-person consumer transactions must accept cash payments on purchases under $500, though the businesses do not have to accept bills larger than $20. The requirement does not apply to self-checkout machines, overnight sales if a business runs out of cash, membership-only businesses, or phone or internet purchases. Businesses that do not follow the law will have to pay fines. For many Illinois residents, cash remains a dependable and necessary way to pay for everyday purchases. State Senator Christopher Belt, a Democrat from Swansea, said in a statement, people deserve the freedom to choose how they pay. That was just one measure of the 87, again, bills Pritzker signed on Friday. Jury pay. Employers will now have to pay their employees their full rate of pay while they are serving on jury duty under House Bill 4844. Businesses with 25 or fewer employees are exempt from the requirement, which begins immediately. CPR practice. House Bill 4788 requires schools beginning in the 2028-29 school year to provide mannequins with and without breasts for CPR practice in middle school and high school. The goal is to give students more practice with female victims who studies show are less likely to receive help from bystanders when suffering cardiac arrest. When someone's life is on the line, every second counts, State Senator Laura Ellman, a Democrat from Naperville, said in a statement. More inclusive, realistic CPR training helps people act quickly and saves lives. Workload report. Senate Bill 3314 requires higher education institutions to provide more transparency about how many credits their faculty members are teaching. The law requires the state's colleges and universities to, beginning in September of 2028, report annually the number of credit hours being taught by full and part-time faculty members. The reports would be organized by tenure status and discipline. Lawmakers supporting the bill said the goal is to provide more transparency for students and educators about the higher education system and ensure faculty members are receiving necessary support. This legislation helps shine a light on who is doing the teaching in our colleges and universities by making clear how many credit hours are taught by full-time versus part-time faculty, Illinois Education Association President Carl Goki said in a statement. Our students and their families deserve to know who is leading the bulk of the classes at their colleges and universities. And airport noise. Senate Bill 4041 requires O'Hare and Midway airports in Chicago to conduct noise studies at least every 5 years, beginning by the end of 2030. The study must map out how sound is distributed around the airport and forecast how noise will be distributed going forward. Also, human trafficking. Drivers on Illinois interstates will soon notice more information about human trafficking at rest stops. House Bill 4654 requires the IDOT, Illinois Department of Transportation, to install signs with resources for human trafficking victims in bathrooms at all rest areas beginning immediately. I'm Susan Muirhead, and this has been part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, August 4th, 2026. I'll be back to read part two with you shortly. Please stay with me. Thanks for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful day.